Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
More bad news for the Irish economy today with the announcement that Bank of Ireland is to cut 1,400 jobs. This on the same day that the bank reported a half-year pre-tax loss of €669 million. The timing of the move drew sharp criticism from the Financial Services Union. In a moment, we'll speak to Roisin Shorthall TD, the co-leader of the Social Democrats. But let's hear first the reaction of the Financial Services Union to the redundancies. Here's John O'Connell.
I think from our point of view, we think it's one of the biggest cultural missteps in banking history in Ireland. And the reason we say that is we're in the middle of a pandemic. As our members and Bank of Ireland staff focus on the one thing the whole country is focusing on, which is getting our children safely back to school, the bank announces an exit package and says to people they have to make up their minds in 4 weeks while they're all focusing on getting their children back to work safely.
And that was John O'Connell of the Financial Services Union talking to Sarah McInerney earlier. I'm joined by Deputy Roisin Shorthall. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mary.
It's the timing he was concentrating here on and the insensitivity of the announcement at this particular time in the middle of a global pandemic. He said it could hardly be worse for Bank of Ireland's employees. Do you agree with him?
I do, yeah. I'm in a proposal to cut about 10% of the jobs in the Bank of Ireland, and to do it in a unilateral way like this, not following negotiation or discussions, and to do it at a time when people are being expected to make life-changing decisions over a short period of time, at holiday time, and as John O'Connell said, at a point when, you know, they're getting their children ready for going back to school. I think it's highly insensitive, and I don't think that's any way for a major company to do its business. It should have entered into negotiations with staff, and it should have held off, in my view, until we come further through the COVID crisis. I mean, the FSU, the union involved, has requested all banks to hold off to closer to the end of the year to see the full impact of COVID and to negotiate any job losses. And it's regrettable that the Bank of Ireland haven't done that. But I would also raise the question of, you know, what is the impact of this on customers? It would appear that this very major decision has been taken without the benefit of any kind of impact assessment in relation to the branch network. So is the Bank of Ireland proposing to replace these 1,400 staff with low-paid jobs, or is it intending to close branches? Now, you know, the impact of bank closures is very significant on areas that are affected by a bank closure.
Why do you think, though, Deputy Shorthall, that Bank of Ireland would move now, particularly as John O'Connell explained earlier, they had engaged with Ulster Bank and with AIB, and that they have paused any plans they might have? And indeed, you know, we do know that jobs are going to go in banking in the medium to longer term. But why do you think Bank of Ireland would move now?
Well, unfortunately, they haven't provided any explanation or rationale for this very kind of immediate decision that seems to have been taken. And I think they owe it to the Irish people to explain why they're going about this, to also, you know, bear in mind the impact that a branch closure can have on a local community, whether that's a rural town or an urban suburban area. You know, we know from research that a branch closure has a very significant impact on the local economy and on local lending in relation to SMEs. And at a time when so many towns are struggling and so many small and medium enterprises are struggling to survive, I mean, this is hugely insensitive by the Bank of Ireland.
But they are a business. They're not a charity. And
yeah,
they have to make provision, they said, for a full year loss on loans because of COVID and the difficulties that business has and that homeowners may have, of something around €1 billion. So they have to think strategically and they have to think with a business head.
Well, Mary, there's no indication of what impact this is going to have on their financial position. But, you know, you said that they're not charities. They're not. But you have to bear in mind that it's not that long ago since the Irish public bailed out all of our banks to the tune of 64 billion euro. And, you know, in the context of that, in the context of the huge crisis that the country is going through at the moment, I think the Bank of Ireland owes us as a people. And they owe us to hold off on this very drastic move that they're making, because we know that flowing on from that will be huge impacts around the country in relation to local businesses.
Do you believe, and the Minister for Finance will be with us after 5 o'clock, do you believe that the Minister should intervene, that he should call in the banks, that he should call in the Bank of Ireland and have words with them?
Well, my understanding, Mary, is that the Minister for Finance has given approval to this, what is an enhanced redundancy package. Now, again, I would hope that you would put that question to the Minister for Finance at a time when the government is talking about trying to save as many jobs as possible. It makes no sense at all for the Minister for Finance to approve a package that will result in 1,400 good jobs.
Okay, we will certainly ask the Minister that. You released a statement earlier today on a different matter, criticising contact tracing for inbound travellers. You said it was a shambles. Why?
Yes, that's true. From figures that I obtained just recently, we know that about 90% of people coming in through our airports and ports are people coming from countries that are not on the green list. So they're coming from countries that have high levels of the virus that are regarded as unsafe. And, you know, we've 90% of people coming from those unsafe countries, and yet there are no proper controls in place. Again, I raised this with the Minister for Justice very recently. The Department of Justice has been doing a certain amount of controls at our ports and airports in recent times. But we also know from figures that they've only managed to telephone about 7% of people who are coming in from those unsafe countries. And indeed, about half of those people didn't even answer the phone calls. When I raised that with the Department of Justice, they said they were waiting for Health to take responsibility. The Minister for Health said they were waiting for the Department of Transport. So you have to ask, is anybody actually responsible for having proper control?
Roisin Shorthall, Deputy Leader, or co-leader, I should say, of the Social Democrats, thank you very much.